Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. Tell thousand reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless You, and on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
God, bless the Lord, oh my soul. The scripture says, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I love this song. It says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. It is First Friday prayer call, purposed for godliness on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith, and I am so excited that you are joining me today for First Friday prayer call. I put revival, but right in the midst of me studying concerning revival, I found the word transformation. And so we are going to talk a little bit about transformation today and then pray for you. So the call-in number, if you desire prayer, the call-in number is 347-989-0144. You can call in with your prayer request. And just to let you know, this is not about One Church Lifeline Missions. It is about the body of Christ coming together in prayer. So you can call in today with your prayer request, log in, get in the chat room, and be a part of the First Friday prayer call today, 8 a.m. Pacific time. Call-in number again is 347-989-89-0144, or you can send your prayer request in to purposeforgodliness@gmail.com, or you can inbox me on Facebook. If you're a friend of mine, you can inbox me on Facebook, Daphne Smith. You can download the show on iTunes and listen to On Demand on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. All right. So thank you again for joining me. I'm going to play another song and give you one announcement that we're doing tomorrow, and moving on. It's so much to pray for, and we could get overwhelmed with all the things that we see in this world and all the things that have happened just in this week alone. I know I'm supposed to be playing a song. It seems like we just hop from one tragedy to another, and social media and technology is moving so fast. So we get like maybe a couple of days of whatever tragedy or whatever, and then we just move on to the next thing. While people are still living through, excuse me, what has happened in their lives. That's not my message, I guess. I'm just sharing with you. As people live with the tragedies that have happened in their lives. So just desire that you be encouraged. And those of us that are believers in Christ, as we pray for revival, we really need to pray for transformation. Transformation. People's hearts need to be transformed. The body of Christ, people in the church, hearts need to be transformed. Minds need to be renewed. People need to be saved. And I know we pray for things to get better. The scripture says that know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. So things are not going to get better in that respect. What is better for us as believers is Jesus said, when you see all these things, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What is going to get better is that we can continue to pray for salvation, continue to preach and teach and minister God's word. We can do that. And I believe God will answer our prayers. So we need to continue to do that. All right. Purpose for godliness. First Friday prayer. Call, transformation, intercession, revival, whatever you want to call it. We need it all. We really do need it all. God is the only person, for the lack of a better word. He is the only one, capital O-N-E. He is the only one that can transform and change a person's heart and mind. And so that's what we need. Really, really, really. That's what we need is transformation. All right. So I'm going to play a few minutes of this song and come back and share with you. All right. 347-989-0144.
Say this tonight. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Now lay your hands on yourself, say it, reach you to me. The strength of God is reaching for you tonight.
You are my strength. Strength like no to me. Yeah. You are my strength.
you declare it.
Strength like no other.
Now say it reaches.
Reaches.
Let's declare it one more time. You are my strength. Come on.
You are my strength.
Yes, you are.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other.
And it reaches to me. Come on, say in the fullness of your grace. Come on, church.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the power of your name.
In the power of your name.
Be testified.
You lift me up.
Yes. Hallelujah. You lift me.
You lift me up.
One more time. In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness.
To lift us up and take us where he wants us to be. Amen. Amen. First Friday prayer call, purpose for godliness. I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith, in case I didn't say that. I minister at Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. My pastor is Pastor Melvin Smith. We are located 381 38 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Services are Tuesday, 6 p.m. Bible study and prayer. Thursday's noonday prayer. And the power of God just shows up in noonday prayer. I don't know what makes that day so different, but oh my goodness, you really need to come to noonday prayer on Thursdays. Sundays, pray at 9:30. Service starts at 10 a.m. We just have a wonderful time in the Lord. 381-386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Also, to give you an announcement, Pastor and I, or me and Pastor, however you want to say it, we will be having a yard sale at the church. Amen. Please come out and support us this Saturday, October 7, 2017, from 9:30 to 1. It's going to be a Lifeline Missions, 381 386 Street East, Palmdale, California. We have women's clothes, we have women's shoes. I think we might have some men's shoes, men's clothes, and I don't like to say a lot of miscellaneous stuff, but it's some good stuff. It's going to be some good stuff there, some good things. We'll give you the pricing. We're not going to overprice you. We're just going to be there having a yard sale. So please come out and support us. And just want to encourage everyone, you know, when you clean out your closets and clean out things, you know, do something to support your local church. Amen. Amen. So we have some good things on tomorrow, August 7th, from 9:30 to 1 p.m. Yard sale. And we'll be there, me and Pastor, 381 386 Street East in the city of Palmdale. Women's clothes, women's shoes. Got a box of shoes, clothes, good clothes, good church clothes, men's clothes, a lot of things for the house. As I go through stuff, it's going to be some other things that are good. Amen. So we'll be doing that. All right. All right. God bless you. Tomorrow, 9:30, yard sale. Okay. So let's do this. I have some scriptures, and I'll just tell you the scriptures. But it's been a lot of things on my heart, as I said before, and didn't quite know which way to go today. It was a scripture that was on my heart in Jeremiah when it says, call for the mourning women and the cunning women, that they may take up a wailing for us. And just want to, I guess that was on my heart, so I'll share that with you to say that. And I was reading and studying that. And I know we, you know, say that this is just the many things that was on my heart. And we say that, especially in a Pentecostal church. We say that scripture, call for the mourning women, call for the cunning women. But the reason they were called is because the children of Israel weren't on their job. It was not a cry to really go get them as words of encouragement. It was a rebuke. The Lord was saying, if you're not going to cry out for yourself, go get you somebody. Pay someone to cry out for you. And I thought about that because people's hearts need to be transformed. And I thought about that because Jesus said, you know, when he was coming into Jerusalem and they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the Pharisees, the people of the synagogue said, stop them from crying out. Jesus said, if I stop them, the rocks will cry out. So, you know, it's a lot of things that was on my heart. And that was just one of them. We need, and in all of that, searching and praying and hearing revival, and I was all excited about, you know, our local church. We need a revival. We need a revival. And I really do search for the truth in God's word. I really do search for the truth. I don't want anything sugar-coated. I don't want anything to make me just feel good and I hoop and holler and shout, and then I go back and live the same raggedy life I was living before, quote-unquote, revival. I really do search for the truth in God's word. So I'm just going to share some things with you today. Revival is reviving. That was dead. That's really, or that not really dead, that which was once alive, reviving it, that which was once alive. But in all of that, as I said before, we get, you know, we do revivals. Some people do revivals for fundraisers. And even y'all bear with me. Even in that, I was praying, talking to the Lord. I'm saying, what's wrong with our churches that we need a constant revival? Do we really need revival, or do we need transformation? And I know, you know, things, like I said, there's so many things has happened that weigh us down and trouble our hearts and trouble our minds. I really do believe that. And we need the Lord. We need the Spirit of God to encourage us, renew us, refresh us. And here's the thing. We need a transformation, because when we feel like we're all alone, it is the word of God that revives us, transforms us, renews us, refreshes us. And if we're always looking for an outside entity or force or person, someone outside to revive us, like, you know, if we're always looking for that, then I think we get caught up in false teaching and false doctrine and all these other things that transpire. Everybody now is prophetess or prophet something. I went off to the left. Prophetess or apostle or something. But have you really paid the price for that? Okay. I just was on my mind. So let me read this and read these scriptures, and then we're going to pray. Do we need revival? No, we need transformation. And this transformation cannot be achieved by weeping and wailing before God, as we do in some revivals, and looking for some miraculous thing to fall down out of the sky on us. And listen, been in wailing and crying out to God. I really am. And I'm at the most important thing I'm looking for is the truth in God's word. Okay. The transformation that the Bible talks about is continual sanctification. This is what we really need. Continual sanctification through the word, through God's word and the power of his spirit. Because here's the thing. Every time I go to church, that is revival for me. Can I say it like that? I don't know any better way to say that. Every time I go to church, I'm expecting God to do something for me. Every time I go to church, I'm not expecting to leave the same way I came in. I'm expecting God to do something miraculous and different in my life. So if you're just going to church just to be going, then, oh, that's on you. That's on you. Transformation is the product of our prayers. It's the product of our prayers for the courage and the grace of the Holy Spirit. It is standing fast in God's word in battle, not wavering, not compromising, not being overcome with fear. Help us, Holy Ghost, because the Bible says, Jesus says, people's hearts are failing them for fear. But be steadfast in the truth, in the cause of the truth of God's word, which is, it seems to be now, a foreign word to most of us. Let me just say that. The truth. We want something that itches our ears. Last week I talked about dry bones. I'm going to talk about it again. We talked about dry bones, and we are like spiritual GPS, just looking. Back in the day, they used to have these sticks that find water. We like those people. I don't know what they call them. We just like them sticks that's trying to find water. It's water over here. It's water over here. It's a revival over here. It's a revival over here. It's a word over here. It's a word over there. Listen, we have the word of God in us. In us. I want to read this, and then I'm going to read my scriptures and pray, and then probably go back to this. It's a warning about some of the revivals that were going on in the 18th and 19th century, and it applies today. It's something that I found today. All of this is a formidable array of evils. There was too little discrimination between true and false religious feeling. There was too much encouragement given to outcries, faintings, and bodily agitations as probable evidence of the presence and power of God. Let me stop reading right there and say this. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. You want to know if people are filled with the Holy Ghost? It is the fruit of the Spirit. Do they display the fruit of the Spirit? Okay, let me get back to reading. There was in many too much reliance on impulses, visions, and pretended power of discerning spirits. There was a great deal of censoriousness and sinful disregard. I'm going to look this word up. Sinful disregard of ecclesiastical order. Sinful disregard. We see that a lot. No order. No order whatsoever. And people get mad when you say they need order. Censoriousness. Modest, charitable, and judgment is modest. It's severely critical of others. Okay. Severely critical of others. It's judgment, hypocritical, overcritical, fault-finding, disapproving, condemnatory, disparaging, reproachful, reproving, censoring. And the Bible tells us to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Okay, sitting in judgment. So I just thought I'd look that up real quick. And there's a great deal of censoriousness. And of sinful disregard of ecclesiastical order, the disastrous effects of these evils, the rapid spread of false religion, the dishonor and decline of true piety, the prevalence of erroneous doctrines, the division of congregations, the alienation of Christians, and a long period of subsequent deadness in the church. Deadness in the church. Stand up as a solemn warning to Christians and especially to Christian ministers in all times to come. Transformation. Transformation is an imperative. Transformation. 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 It's transformation. So I'm going to read these scriptures. It says, and most of us that are in church, we know that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Y'all need to underline that. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation. Transformation. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Talking about transformation. Philippians 3 and 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven. For which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So transformation describes that process by which that on the inside shows forth on the outside. That on the inside shows forth on the outside. It describes an inward renewal of our minds. An inward renewal of our minds. It refers to the essential form of the thing. The basic meaning of changing into one form or another is the term we get metamorphosis. In biology, it denotes the amazing change of a lowly worm into a beautiful butterfly. But the worm was always a butterfly on the inside. So it's what's on the inside of us. So the change in view here is not a superficial fluctuation of fashion or conduct, but a vital change revealing a new life. It also describes Jesus' transfiguration when he was transfigured on the mountain. He already had that glory in him. So that what Jesus really was on the inside was manifested to Peter, James, and John. So we need transformation. We need transformation. We need transformation. We need to be transformed, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So as we go through all of this, and see all of these things that are happening, and people say, "Why did this person do this? What would it take?" And I don't think they'll ever find the answer. Truly, what would it take for a person to shoot in a crowd of people, killing almost 60 people and injuring almost 500 folks? It's the evil one. It's the devil. We could say mental illness and all of that. But it is because of the sin that is in the world. And it is going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to transform the minds of people, transform our minds. We cannot do it on our own. It's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to transform minds. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray, and just allow the Lord to speak to us. Even as I play the song, allow the Lord to speak to us. I just wanted to share what was on my heart and on my mind this morning, and I'm learning to listen to the Spirit of God that is in me. Not to be spooky pooky, as someone would say, not to be spooky, but just to sit quietly and listen to the voice of the Lord, because he is the only one that has the answers to the things that is happening to us, happening in our world, happening in our churches. He has the answer. We do not have the answer. He has the answer. And most importantly, can I say this? He is the answer. He really is the answer. And until we are transformed by the renewing of our mind every day, it is pastors. Listen, I'm reading news articles where pastors are killing their wives. A pastor shot his wife not too long ago. Pastors shooting their wives, pastors that are leaving their wives. I ain't heard too much about female pastors, but I'm talking about male pastors. I'm just saying, leaving their wives for other women, leaving their families, not supporting their families, leaving their churches for another woman. You know, all of these things that are, and leaving their wives to pastor the churches alone. So, you know, when you read these things and see these things, you know that, you know, the time is drawing nigh. Jesus is soon to come. We hear all of these things. So, like I said, I desire the truth that is in God's word. We need to take up a wailing for ourselves, church. We need to be in prayer for ourselves. We need to be in prayer for our churches. We need to be in prayer for our pastors. We need to be in prayer for our families, number one. We need to be in prayer for our families. We need to be in prayer constantly. Ask God to cover us, because I don't think everybody that was at that concert were sinners. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So, you know, tragedy just doesn't happen to bad people. Tragedy happens to good people. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Okay? So we'll be right back. 347-989-0144.
Sit by.
lay behind stones. Live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. Come on, you took the fall. This is our testimony song. And thought of me. Everybody, come on. Can we sing it to the Lord? Crucified. Laid behind the stone. Live to die. Rejected and alone. Like a rose. Trampled on the ground.
The thing that separates us from Buddhists and from Hare Krishna worshipers, because we've got a God who promised us that he would lay down his life